Welcome back to an Investor's Journey podcast. This is your host, Jonathan Barbera, and I am trying to bring back an Investor's Week. I know I said I was going to do it every week, and being that the last one was in November, I think I didn't really hold on to that commitment. It's hard. I mean, it's really hard. Come the end of the week is when we are kind of, you know, going over all of our projects, physically going to all of our projects, making sure everything is good, making sure that all the materials there, all the jobs getting done, reviewing them, meeting with contractors, and it really gets away from me. So no more promises. I'll get these out whenever I get them out. Maybe we'll have to change it up to an investor's business update or some shit like that. If you have any recommendations, send them out. But I do want to cover it because I think every time I speak to investors and we actually share what we do on a daily basis, they're rather shocked at how much work it takes to run a business. So I think it's definitely worth putting out there. And I think you guys can get some value out of it. So let me go back a little and kind of catch you guys up on what it is that we've been working on. So in real estate, we use everybody as a referral base, right? So everybody that we know we come in contact with, we pretty much let them know what it is that we do. And if they ever come across anybody that's looking to sell a house or partner on a deal or lend some money or whatever, to get a hold of us, you know, anything having to do with real estate, to get a hold of us. And because of that, we also let our contractors know that. So we always tell our contractors, hey, if you want more consistent work, bring us more deals. You know, if you bring us a deal, we would definitely use you on that deal. We won't shop it around to other contractors. We will use you. Right. And because of that, we had one of our contractors. He loves building houses. That's what he wants to do. And he's good at it. So we're like, fine, you know, we'll build with you. Just find us some lots. And he did. He found us two lots. One is in Seguin, which is about 50 minutes away from San Antonio. And the other one is actually in downtown San Antonio in a historic district of Dignuity Hills, or Dignuity, or whatever the hell people want to pronounce it as. But it's in a historic district of downtown San Antonio. And there, we're actually in the process. We've started all the paperwork, all the committee reviews, because you got to go through the historic committee and you got to get like conceptual drawings approved and everything, because the facade of these houses, they need to go with the historic feel. Oh, you got to comply with a lot of stuff. So there, we're actually building four condo type townhome style houses there. They're all going to be single family, but they're going to be very close to each other. They're going to be about 1,800 square feet a piece. And we're doing it two stories, and we're doing a third story balcony, and which has a view of the downtown San Antonio skyline along with the Tower of America, which come, you know, holiday times and stuff like that. Whenever they do fireworks, you're going to have a perfect view of that area. So, I mean, really, really nice view, really nice area. And that whole section of San Antonio just keeps growing tremendously. So, and then he brought us the other one in Seguin, and that was just it's a vacant lot in a very well-established neighborhood. And we ran comps and everything, and the houses in that area sell for north of $300,000. We picked up the lot for $45,000. And the build out cost is coming in at about $180,000. So, not a bad deal, right? And they're going to be doing the work and everything themselves. So obviously we're going to be overseeing that. So we have those two new builds. And then we have another contractor that he does more of the renovation side. And same thing. You know, they had a neighbor that was a friend of theirs, and they were interested in selling. So they got us in contact with them after some negotiations and everything, we were able to buy the house, and now those contractors are renovating that house. So a lot of people always ask, like, what's your marketing strategy when to pick up leads? And my answer is always the same. Everything, right? Where do we get our leads? From everywhere. There's honestly, I don't know if it's good or bad, but we have no consistent deal flow, in the sense that we can't say that all our deals come from direct mail or all our deals come from door knocking, or we don't have that. What we do is just everything. You know, we just work harder than everybody else, and we just put in so much time that we get a deal from direct mail, we get a deal from door knocking, we get a deal from calls, we get a deal from referrals. We get the majority of our deals come from partnerships. Not many people can have either the knowledge or the time to handle a renovation. Most don't have the money, you know, and we can bring all three. We have the time, we have the experience, and we have the knowledge, and then the money. So we bring all three, and we do partnerships with people, right? So all they have to do is essentially just bring us the lead, bring us the deal, and we will partner with you. So partnerships have been a huge part of our business ever since we started. Everything we've ever done has been through partnerships. It's just a way to leverage other people's resources and time, and you focus on what you do the best and they focus on what they do best. And we've been able to do a lot that way and get to where we are. So that other one is in shirts, and we're just flipping it. It's a standard rehab. We're not really rushing it because we do have to comply with the 90-day seasoning for FHA buyers. And that area is very heavy on FHAs. So it's a rather quick flip, but we can't put it on the market for 90 days. And what we don't like to see is finish a project and have it sit in vacant for a month. You know, that's just not good, because vacant houses, pretty much houses just don't like to be vacant. Yeah, you have people that can break into them. You have shit that breaks. I mean, houses just don't like to be vacant. So we're kind of like dragging our feet in certain areas, not rushing it, because we're trying to chew up that time as much as possible. That way we can finish the house and put it on the market right then and there. So that one is it's a pretty good deal. So far, one tip that I wanted to give, why you want to partner with people that know what they're doing. We had a problem, a plumbing issue on that one. So we lifted the foundation 5 to 6 inches, and it obviously broke plumbing. We were expecting that, because everywhere we had to lift had plumbing underneath. So that's one thing we tell people: if you're lifting more than really 2 inches here in San Antonio, we have slabs. So it's not basements or anything. So when you lift a slab, the plumbing runs through there. So when you lift it and stuff, the plumbing would just snap. You know, if you're lifting it more than like two inches, really. And this one, where the biggest dip you had was in the kitchen and master bathroom, were all on that side. So we knew we were just going to snap plumbing. But one thing that we didn't anticipate is from the guest bath to the sewer pipe, the level was actually negative, which meant that when you flush the toilet or anything, it was going towards the house, not away from the house. So typically what most people would have to do in this situation is hire somebody that would dig pretty much underneath the house, and they can charge you anywhere from $250 to $350, I think is what I heard, a foot that they dig to get there. And then you got to get the plumber out there to fix the pipe accordingly. And, you know, it could be a repair that's going to cost you a couple $1,000 for sure. But because of our contacts and the amount of deals that we do and everything, we actually had our foundation guy come back out, and he just had his guys just break a hole through the bathroom. So big enough where our plumbers could actually get in there and fix that pipe to the level, to the degree that it needed to be. And it only cost us $200 to do all that. You know, anybody else, it would have cost you a couple $1,000, because no foundation company is going to come out and do that for you. And, you know, you got to know where you're digging and all that. So they dug it up, opened it up. My plumber went in right away, fixed it. And then they came back and filled it back in, put the cement, and nothing, like nothing happened. So, I mean, those are little tricks that when you're doing a house, just because somebody tells you, you know, hey, the only way to solve it is this way, I always tell people, call investors, call flippers that you know that have been doing this for a living for a long time and ask them, hey, my contractor, plumber, electrician, whatever, told me I needed to do this and this, and it's gonna cost me a shit ton of money. Do you know any other way around this, right? Or do you know any other way that this can be done cheaper or better or whatever? Or even, does it need to get done? Because, I mean, you have a lot of slick contractors out there that they'll tell you shit needs to get done a certain way, and they're just lying out their ass just to get more work. So always consult with a savvier investor on stuff like that, especially when you're new, or when even when a situation like that is new to you. You may have been flipping houses for a long time, but you come across something that you never came across before. So that is new to you. You know, get rid of your ego and ask for help. It's going to, your pocketbook is definitely going to love you for that. So we got that. That was really cool. Had to find new roofers on that project because, like always, we're always looking for new contractors. In the flipping space, everybody always says, you know, oh, I want to build my core team of contractors. And I don't mean to mock them, but it's just funny because every time I hear that, I'm like, you haven't been in this. You know, you're not doing it, and which is why you're saying those things. Building a core team of contractors, while it sounds amazing, is damn hard to do. I mean, contractors, the majority of them, if not all, have a shelf life. They're all great until they're not. You understand? There's some that they just, not that the quality goes down, sometimes they just get too big for their own shoes. Where they just, you know, they start growing and then they start getting a lot of work and everything, and they start jacking up their prices. And it's fine, you got to take care of your business, but this is the one thing I always tell contractors, like, you know, if I'm giving you consistent work and you still want to raise your prices on me, like, I still got to look out for my business too. So I'm not going to pay it. You understand? Especially when I know that I can get it done for the prices that I've been getting it done for. So we tend to lose contractors that way. Sometimes they just get a lot of work and they get lazy. So we have to fire them. Like, I had my electrician that we've used them in like 8 or 9 projects, and I'm talking about complete rewires, everything. And I had to get rid of him on our last project because he was just dragging his feet. It took like an extra 2 months from what it should have been to finish the electrical. So, I mean, that's just unacceptable. We can't have those kind of things. And I'm fine with contractors fucking up and telling you, hey, you know what? I screwed up on this, my bad. We give contractors second chances all the time. Like, I don't take anything personal. I get it. Shit happens. Let's work through it, right? But this guy, I mean, he just didn't give a shit. Like, I was like, what the hell happened, man? Like, you chewed up 2 months. This is, you know. And he just looked at me. He's like, oh, it is what it is. Well, fuck you then. You know, it is what it is. Call me when you need some real fucking work and let's see what happens. Yeah, I tend to hold a grudge. I don't know if that came off. Just, I don't know. That's who I am. We are very loyal. If you do good work and you take care of us, we will always take care of you. But when you start taking advantage of us, we got to take care of our business. So yeah, that definitely happened. As far as the new builds, it's something that we always tell people. The investor needs to manage the project at all times. All right. We see this happen time and time again where there's investors that they hire a great contractor and they kind of just let the contractor run with the project. And that's just, it's very bad because the contractor is a great contractor. You are the investor. And I've said this again many, many times. You need to manage your project. You need to manage the expenses. You need to manage the kind of materials that are being used. Like, I will never tell the contractor how many 2x4s to use on framing a wall, but I will tell them what type of cabinets to use. I will tell them what type of fixtures to use, because those are things that I know where we can spend money and where we shouldn't spend money, where we're going to get our money's worth and where we're not. You understand? A contractor doesn't know that unless they are actively flipping houses themselves. And this is unfair for you to expect this from them, because they end up picking whatever they pick, and then you end up spending the money on something that's not going to give you a return. And this is what happened in this one project. So the one that we're doing in Seguin right now, it was over budget tremendously from when we first spoke. And we're looking, we're like, all right, let's sit down. Let's review the plans. What's happening? What are you doing? He's like, well, I'm using these doors and I'm using this trim and I'm using this and this cabinet and these. And we're like, no. You not at that price point, not where we're building. Because we actually take the time, we went out to Seguin and we walked new developments. We walked areas where they're doing brand new builds, the same style that we're going to be doing. Our house is going to be a lot better because it's going to be a custom home. While their homes are more, they're not really track homes, but there's like three different types and then they just do, you know, 300 of them. Of those three different variations. So ours is very custom and it looks really cool. So, but we went through it and we're like, no, we don't need this. No, we don't need stone there. We don't need this here. And we just started hitting a lot of areas that to him, he was getting upset because as a contractor, you know, those things are really nice. But as an investor, I know that the buyer's not going to notice what's not there or what didn't get installed. And they're not going to pay extra if we do it. So those are two things that are very, very important when it comes time to selling the house. You know, so we started knocking things down. We don't need this here and we don't need that there. And lo and behold, the budget came down tremendously. And we're still going to be trimming that budget even more. You understand? But that's what we tell in the contractor. He's like, no, you know, I built a lot of houses. I'm like, we don't question your building capabilities. You understand? We believe in what you're building and we believe the kind of work you do. But you're going to build what we tell you to build because we know what's going to sell. You understand? And that's the whole point. The point of building these houses is to sell them. It's not for emotional support. You understand? Like, it's not for me to move into it. It's to sell these houses. So if I'm going to sell this house, we need to build it for it to sell. You know, so we go over it. We don't let any contractor dictate any of the terms or any of the finished product that's going to go into that house. We don't. We're heavily involved and to the point where we go shopping with them for certain things. Where it's like, no, we're not buying that. We're buying this one. That one's shit. I don't care if it's shit. It's going to look good and people don't pay extra for that quality. You understand? And by shit, I mean like from a contractor's point of view. You know, a contractor wants to put high quality everything into a house. And I get it. I was a contractor. When you're working with high quality material, it's easier to even work with. And it's nice when it's finished. You look at it. When you're working with slightly less than high quality material, you got to work it a little harder, you know, and it doesn't look perfect. But it's like every house has its thing. There are going to be houses where we actually need to go beyond those materials. You understand? We need to do better quality than what they want. It's like, no, we actually need to spend more on this house because it's a higher price point. So keeping those things in check is something that we as investors need to do, not them as contractors. And if you depend on them as contractors, you will see you're going to end up spending a lot more money and the houses are not going to sell as well. So, you know, keep that in mind because that's definitely been one of the things that we've learned recently. Another thing I've been working on this past couple months is we're actually putting together, we're looking to start hiring some wholesalers. So these are going to be people that they're going to come on board to work for Prime. And I'm going to teach them everything of how we acquire deals. Because one area that we spend a lot of time on is acquisitions. And we rather not spend the time on that. We rather spend the time on the business side that we do, which is the actual flipping and the growth of the company. So I want to hire out the acquisition side, but these people need to get trained. So what I'm actually working on is bringing people on board where I'm going to teach them how, I'm going to go with them, teach them how to door knock, how to do phone calls, how to do direct, everything that I'm doing already, teach them how to do all those things. And essentially, they're going to be our own wholesalers. So they're going to go out, get these properties on the contract, get everything, and we're going to pay them what we would pay another wholesaler. But they're going to get properties that we want at the prices that we want them, right? Because right now what's happening is we're seeing so many wholesalers out there wholesaling garbage, you know, and garbage solely based on the price they're asking. Because no house is really garbage to us. I mean, if the numbers work, we'll buy any house, right? So the house doesn't matter. I don't care what it looks like. But the numbers are garbage because they're going to these houses. And just because the homeowner comes out and says, like, what's happened recently? Homeowner tells me, I want 110. Like, well, I can't pay more than 80 for it. Oh, but I want 110. I'm like, I get it, but it's not worth 110. What do you want me to tell you? I haven't touched this house in like 2 decades. You know, shit has fallen apart. The price points aren't that high. I can only buy 80. You understand? And oh, I'm not going to sell it. Cool. You know, call me when you want to. But what happens is that you have other wholesalers that are going there and the guy says 110. They're like, done, 110. And then they start pushing it out and get it. And most likely what they usually do is they get some rookie investor that doesn't know any better that buys it for 115 or 120, you know, on top of that little wholesale fee that they want to get. And they get themselves into trouble, which is what I see continuously. You know, so I want to actually train these guys to be great wholesalers, you know, and I'm actually going to be making a podcast soon that I was thinking about of how to know when to walk away from a deal, because so many people are just hurting for money and they won't walk away when they should be. And all that's doing is creating really, really bad habits, because right now you're creating bad habits in a hot market. And that's the worst thing you can possibly do. Because then when the market turns, you're not going to know how to structure good deals. And you're going to go out of business. That's why I say, if you need the money, go get a job. Don't do real estate because you need money. Do real estate because you like real estate. You want to build a business around real estate. So that way, you're not making decisions solely based on the income. You know, that's just, it's a recipe for disaster and it's only going to get you into trouble. So, and you're just not going to go anywhere. I mean, if that's your goal, then by all means do it. But I'm looking out, trying to make sure that this is an awesome business to be in. Build it as a business. So that's what I've been working on, trying to get some wholesalers. And I'm going to be putting out some marketing and stuff like that. So if you know of anybody that wants to get into wholesaling, will want to come work for us, let me know. I'm going to be putting little training sessions together, teaching them how to do everything. And like I said, I'm not giving them like a small little finder's fee. No, they're getting like a legit wholesale fee for these properties. Like they're getting a good chunk of money because that's not where we make our money. I don't want to wholesale properties. What I want to do is what we do now. Develop, build, hold. You know, that's what I want to do. That's where we want to take our business. We want to take it to that next level. And wholesaling just doesn't get us there. So anybody that comes to work for us, they're going to learn how to wholesale and learn how to build a business. We're going to teach them how we flip our houses. We're going to teach them how to evaluate a rental. They're going to learn how to be real investors. So if you know of anybody or you yourself would like to do it, just feel free to reach out. And that's also another thing we've been working on. We recently also attended a, what was it? Mind Over Money seminar that they were having here. And one of the funny things that happened there was we were sitting there with my business partner and we brought the age average down tremendously. I mean, it was us that are around 30 years old and everybody else was like at least in their 60s. And one thing that catches my interest with that is that people our age or younger, they don't care about personal finance and nobody pays attention to those things. And that's really how you get into trouble. You know, you need to pay attention to your personal finances, budgeting, you know, your expenses. I mean, most people don't, they live paycheck to paycheck and they don't even understand why. So, and they always think that a better job is going to give them the answers they want when you're going to get a better job, higher paycheck, and then increase your bills that much. So personal finance is something that's very important to us. We read a lot of books on it. We go to a lot of seminars, follow a lot of people on that subject because it's a very important subject. So definitely recommend you guys, you know, if you're not doing it, get educated. somebody that we follow is Rick Edelman. He has a podcast, a couple books. One book that he has, Truth About Money, is an amazing book. It's not really a book that you read cover to cover. You kind of skim through the chapters that you're interested in, because they talk about housing, you know, and car leases and life insurance. I mean, everything that has to do with money. So you get educated. You should read the whole book just so you have an understanding, but being able to skim through it and go to those areas that you're looking to do is so valuable. And people just don't take it for, you know, for what it is. And then they end up getting in trouble and they don't even understand why. They blame everybody around them except taking personal responsibility for the fact that you don't control your finances. So definitely take a look at that. And that was a really interesting little seminar where they talked about pretty much behavioral coaching. So what they talk about in investing is that it's not so much how to invest, but your behavior when you invest. So not making emotional decisions. You know, a lot of people, when the market is going down, they panic and they start selling, or they just make bad decisions depending on how everything is going, based on emotions. You know, so that's something that I found very true, because I see it so much in real estate. And I just put out podcasts about unrealistic expectations and, you know, why most investors can't succeed in real estate. So you should definitely check it out, because it's all about that. It's it's how you react to things, you know, and your mindset when it comes time to investing. So very crucial, very important to get educated on, and definitely look for resources in that space. We have Ray Dalio we follow. We have all his books. We always have those conversations with ourselves. You know, we sit down with John pretty much every Friday over some whiskey and kind of talk about personal finance, business finance, you know, and have those conversations that people find very uncomfortable. We also have those conversations. I have them with my family pretty much every Sunday, you know, making financial decisions. Like, everybody, it's so taboo to talk finances, and yet people get into deep shit because of it. So stop being afraid of money. It's a part of our lives. Accept it and just deal with it. And that's it for now. So we've been doing other shit, but because it's been so long since I've done one of these, so too much to cover. I don't want to do a 2-hour long podcast, but I'll try to get them done. I think by not putting a deadline on it, it might help me out a little more, where I don't feel like, ah, man, I missed that deadline. Let me wait. So I'll try to put these out a little more regularly, and they'll come out whenever they come out. I hope you guys are enjoying this, and I'll catch you in the next one.